So, Steve Johnson, you've written for National Geographic. You are a writer for National Geographic. You're a writer for Forbes. You've written a ton of natural like resources travel like writing type work. And before we hit record, I asked you, what is something related to success in writing that you just don't see a lot of people talking about? And you had an interesting perspective. You said, after the sales have been made, what was the difference that the book made? And did the readers experience gratitude after having read the book? What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, the most important thing is what happens at the end. I love writing. I love doing this. I love the craft and having the talent to be able to shape an idea and some words into something that people enjoy reading is a wonderful gift. But again, at the end, I want a reader to either walk away inspired or with some new knowledge they didn't have before. They want to go to a place and experience what I'm writing about. They want to go there and help save that space. Maybe it's a habitat or a species. They want to inspire some sort of action. Yeah, and that's what matters to me most. I want that to make a difference. And for me, it's a lot of times comes back to the outdoor world, environment, nature. We are in a world of hurt right now overall with the way the climate and wildlife is. And if I can help in my writing in some way, then I feel like that's a win.
Yeah. How do you optimize, like practically speaking, as a writer? So like I'm very much in the world of trying to figure out, how can I help authors be professional authors that actually get their book to take on a life of its own and experience sales and all of that kind of stuff. That's very much my like where I devote my attention. But it's a great point that you're making because it's like I know how to sell books, but do I know how to make sure that those books are making the difference that they were intended to make when they were written? How do you actually optimize for that as a writer?
Wow, that is a great question, and probably one of my most difficult elements of this craft too. I suck at self-promotion. It's plain and simple. I don't enjoy the marketing part of things, and for that reason, a lot of people have no idea who I am. And my career could be a lot better, a lot more, I guess, visible, successful than it is right now because of that component right there. I don't like it, and I'm not good at it, and I haven't taken the time to get better at it. And that's my own fault and my own I guess to my own detriment right now. It's better than it was, but it's a lot of work. That promotion process takes a ton of time, and you need to know what you're doing. And I want to go write another book. And so, once one gets done, if you can only rely so much on a traditional publishing house to do the marketing and the things, and oftentimes it's not much. So it's up to you. And so you got to blast all over social media, and I don't like social media. And you have to do all kinds of postings all over the place, and I'm getting better at it, but it's just one of those things that I'm not good at. So to answer your question, that's really difficult thing to kind of gauge. What did the book do at the end? That's tough. I would love to know more from some of my readers, and I'd love to mo know more feedback on what kind of impact my work had. I think if I had to pick one, I ghost wrote for a sustainability pioneer down in the Dominican Republic, and his book was about driving change, through private sector to essentially save the planet. You know, here's the things that private business can do to make a difference. And there's so many really powerful stories in that book that resonated with a lot of different people, a lot of different reader groups, user groups. You know, we've got high-level investors, travelers that go down to, say, that area, and they don't really know much of anything that's happening in specific crises or if you will, of related to an environment. But then they learn about one thing while they're there from this book, and it goes on to make a tremendous difference. For one quick example, they were able to save an endangered species of hawk down there through the work that this writer did, through a foundation that he worked at down there. And we highlighted it in the book, and it's all over the place down there. So if I can look at that and say, wow, you know, that was something that I helped with, and I helped do this, and that bird now has a better life from the work that we did on that book. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is there anything practically, when you think about the craft of writing, that you think about as you're crafting your content, trying to optimize for? I want to make sure that, okay, maybe I'm not the greatest at promotion, but whoever reads this, I want to make sure that it's hitting the way it's supposed to be hitting, and it's making the impact it's supposed to make.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the one way I've been able to really improve in the past, say, 5 years, is doing that very thing. I've put more of that emphasis, I guess the end of story emphasis, on my writing as I do it. And it's easy to say, well, that's what you should do all the time. Well, it's not that easy. We're in the middle of a chapter. It's sometimes not easier, but just natural to get caught up in that chapter, for example. And in my world, with the outdoors especially, I really like to think about what's this going to do for someone? What's this going to do at the end? And it seems to be able to infuse a more, a stronger passion to my words. And I like how that plays out, you know, as the story develops to the end of it. And with ghostwriting, it's a different animal because it's not your stuff. I could be writing for a client that, and it's a subject area that I have no idea what it's about on the outset before I start the project. Maybe it's brain science, you know, but to be able to get into the meat of it and what this is going to do at the end, you know, and this doesn't sound like a big revelation or anything, but it really is important to look at the end of story message for me. What's this going to do? Is this will make a difference? If it's going to make a difference, how is it going to do it? And what can I say as I'm writing to make that happen?
So, Steve, how did you get started as a professional writer and eventually landed to ghostwriting?
Well, if we go way back into the boring part of the story, when I was a kid and started, you know, turning in little writing assignments in grade school, teachers said, hey, this looks really good, you should keep doing this. And then my college professor said, hey, this looks really good, you should keep doing this. And I ended up in the last few semesters of college, you know, taking more writing courses than were associated with my degree. And it turned out to be that same message from one of my professors and still friend and mentor. It just, Johnson, you should go do this for a living. And I said, what? And, you know, it just seemed like it was even a real thing. You know, I moved back home, tried to from Colorado and moved back here to Wisconsin, and saw an ad in the newspaper of all things, looking for somebody to write a outdoor guidebook. I thought, hey, that sounds pretty cool. And so I did it. And then ever since then, it's been at least one book a year, published in the outdoors world, camping, hiking, biking, all the things we love to do. And
what year was that? What year did you get the guidebook contract?
First one came out in roughly 92.
Ah, were you super outdoorsy?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Ever since my childhood years.
Gotcha. And yep. I see that you've worked for National Geographic. When did that start? And is that related or?
Yes.
Yeah. Just talk to me about your career journey that you've been on.
Yeah. Ever since that first, the first guidebook, it just kind of snowballed. With that same publisher, Falcon, a lot of my colleagues and friends, you know, have written for them as well. They're a pretty big name in that guidebook arena, pretty popular format and in bookstores and REIs and outdoor stores all over the place. And ever since then, my passion and my interests are all in the outdoors, and was able to craft narrative and engaging stories that resonated with an audience. And it was just really fun to do. I mean, the research isn't too bad, right? You get to go out and walk around in the mountains or up here in the lakes and the forests and all of this and write about it. And it just, you know, became a really fulfilling pursuit of mine. I generally love every minute of this job. I love getting up and heading down and writing whatever it is. And if it's especially something about environment and things I can do to make a difference, then that's a good day for me.
What does the day-to-day look like now?
You know, it's not really exciting. You come down and you turn on the computer and you start firing away on a story, but the good part is there's a lot of different things going on at once. So, you know, I just started another ghostwriting project with Forbes Books, and it's every client has a fascinating story and a background that they want to get out into the world, and I'm able to partner with them and, you know, get into their heads and be, you know, their second set of, I guess, second brain, and get their story out there. And it's just fun. It's fascinating. It's a wonderful thing to be able to partner with some of these people who are doing just amazing things in their industries. And then to, you know, transfer that onto a story that is going to make a difference in so many people's lives.
Yeah. How do you typically break up your time? Like, how much time are you spending working on a book for Forbes? How much time are you spending for Nat Geo? And I see on your LinkedIn, A Higher Latitude. What's that?
That's my own company. I like that name, resonated with me, for two things. It's, you know, geographically, it's where I'm from. Up here in this higher latitude area. And then just that feeling, you know, I'm writing at a different level, a different, not above anyone else. I mean, it's just, you're writing at in a different space, a different place, a different way of writing. And it just felt like, when I write and I'm really into it, I'm having a wonderful day, it feels like I'm just writing on a different latitude, on a different place. And that's where the name came from.
What kind of writing do you typically do for A Higher Latitude?
That's my own company. So that's what covers everything I do. So
I got you.
That could be a kid's book. And we should talk about that as well, because in your interest area.
Yeah.
Started a children's book learning adventure series or I'm writing, a short little mountain bike article for a local trails magazine, or, I'm firing off another project with National Geographic. And, that for me was the top of the heat in my career trajectory. Is obviously that name is worldwide. They do such great things. If there's a way for me to make a difference at the end of the day in my work, then I really feel fulfilled. And with them is a chance to kind of gather all of my experience over the years and all the books and all the projects, all the interest areas that mean so much to me, and put it to an audience that is enormous and has the most chance to drive some change.
It sounds to me like when you just hear about it, and I think most people would feel this way, that you've got like a dream job, that you're out in nature. Sometimes I bet you have to travel around in nature, mm-hmm. and you're writing about nature. That's at least what it sounds like. Can you talk a little bit about the dream versus reality of what your life is like as a writer?
Yeah, there it is in a lot of ways a dream job. Again, I love what I do. I love this craft. I'm good at it, and I'm getting better. And I learn from a lot of my peers, and so all of that is really a fulfilling thing to be able to do every day. And yes, if I get a project where I need to go travel around to some of my favorite places or new places, then I can't imagine anything better. You see stories from other writers or photographers, and they're off on some exotic location. And you, and as a kid, I saw all that. Wow, how cool could that be? And I was able to do it. It's on a lot of ways not as glamorous as it looks. The writing takes a long time to pull a book together. And the time put in, and the traveling and the adventure part of it is one thing. Then coming back and shaping all that into a story that someone actually wants to read, beyond just guidebook fare, where you're just essentially giving directions and maybe writing something about it, it can be boring to read. So my craft and my opportunities, and I guess my talent in that regard, was to make it fun and maybe channel some message or a lesson from what you feel and learn when you're out there in the world. It's always different, but for me, when I go into the high country of Colorado, for example, there's such a connection that I can't hardly not come back and write about it. Up here in the Northland, my roots here are really deep, and it's really an exhilarating, fulfilling thing for me to be able to come back and write something that a reader will say, this is fantastic, I never knew this was here, or I want to go there now. And ultimately, what's really important is if I can share something that's happening out there. There's an endangered species, or there's a threatened habitat, or something that's happening that maybe people don't know about, and they want to know about it, or they want to go do something about it, or if nothing else, it's just interesting, and maybe it's in their backyard and they didn't know this yet. And so I always write a little paragraph or section about why a place matters and bring it really to the kind of the front of the interest area of the audience if I can.
Is most of what you're writing, aside from your work with Forbes, is it whole guidebooks? Are you writing parts of guidebooks? Are you writing like mm-hmm. articles in magazines? Like what most of what you're writing?
So the book, Guidebook World, yes, those were all full books. And I've 15, 16, 17 of those I've written, and they've been in Colorado, Montana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, all over this area. And that's the part about the writing and nature that is the non-glamorous side. It takes an incredible amount of time to come back after an adventure and put this all onto a page. And now we're talking about maps and mileages and all the details that a guidebook needs to have in it. And it's a lot of kind of busy work. It's a lot of detailing work. It's really not that fun to write, honestly, when it gets down to that level. Get to the bigger picture page, and when you can write what the place means, that's where it's fun. So the rest of it, it takes a ton of time, and you're the time and the what you're getting out of it from on the other end of it often doesn't match. So it's not for everybody. It's wonderful to be out in nature. It takes way more time than it honestly should sometimes, but it's a lot of work. But in the end as well, like I was saying, it's if you love what you do and you love being out in nature, you want to do this in this space of writing, then you can't ask for much more. And when I was able to kind of continue this path, the National Geographic element in this career was, like I said, kind of the top step for me. And I'm really proud of it, really fortunate. It was almost an accident. One job turned into a different one, and now hopefully I'm on the front end right now of creating a new travel series and a kind of an array of different outdoor destination guidebooks and story books from kids all the way to, expedition type level. And we'll see where that goes. But it's really, really fun right now.
Yeah. If you had not gotten into travel like writing the way that you had, and you were a writer working in a different like capacity of writing right now, and you wanted to get into it, knowing what you know now, what's the path that you would take to get into it?
If I want to get into travel writing, you have to start small. And this industry, specifically with the travel world, maybe more than others. And I did that. You start. My first article I ever wrote for publication was for free for Rocky Mountain National Park magazine, way back in college. And but I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I, it's great. Look at me. I've got a story, and it's in a book. And you start with those little front of the magazine articles and department articles, shorties that are only 200 words, and then you try to get your name in there, and you go from there. And now you got a feature, and maybe you get a column, and that's how it all worked with me. And you just, I think if I had any advice, it was just never ever stop. Just never give up. The persistence and a healthy streak of stubbornness is the way that I got this far, and I need to keep doing that to keep it going. Honestly, it's definitely not easy street. It's not a time to coast. You've really got to keep hustling. And I'm still freelance, still contract you until it's on staff somewhere. This is your world, and if you choose it, then you're hustling, and that can be tiring as well. There's been more than one time where I was questioning this choice. Maybe I should just go get a quote regular job, but I would be miserable. This is what I love to do, and so you just keep going. you keep fighting, you keep pushing, and you get there.
Do you live contract to contract still? What kind of consistency do you have?
I do. And fortunately, it got to the point now where there are consistent enough where there's not any gaps. Or if there That's are, good. They're short enough between them where I don't panic anymore like I used to. You know, in this world too, when you're first starting, unless you really get in a good string of work, you know, you go 6 months without a job, there's something to write a contract. Well, what about groceries? What about the rent? And that's when you have to decide, well, I'll go get another part-time job, or maybe I just give up and this is too much work to keep the writing work coming in. So yeah, it's it can be frustrating, but again, on my end, I love this so much that you just keep firing away. And yeah, fortunately, the consistency of them has leveled off, and we're at a point right now where you kind of have to juggle because there's too many of them.
That's good. How did you start writing for Forbes?
You know, that was an accident too. It was some of these things too, where you're able to reach out and network with people. You hear it all day long. It's who you know, or it's just somebody that says something about that place over there where they worked. And yeah, you know, a lot of times desperation pays off, and you're hungry for work so much, you're firing off resumes and inquiries to every place you can think of. But this, you know, one came up where, you know, we had a chance to work with that name, and I was brand new to ghostwriting. I had never done it before. And that name, of course, attracted me. There's got to be something good with that. So you send in your information, and you start with your first project and see how it goes. And turns out that it was a good thing. And now it's my main source of income with ghostwriting in general.
Yeah. Steve, this has been a really fun interview, and I've loved talking to you. For writers who are listening, if they only took one thing away from this episode, what would you want them to take away?
Don't ever stop. Don't ever give up. You hear all the time, one of the earliest lessons in writing is to write every day. And that's true. That's the real thing. And sometimes I don't feel like doing it at all. And it's okay to take a break from it too. And oftentimes there's long hours at the desk where you need to stop and break it up and go outside and walk around and feel something in the outdoors that helps clear your head, helps maybe infuse and inspire some new passion and ideas that you might not have had at the start of the day. I've got lots of my inspiration, a lot of my ideas, and maybe even just, hey, that's a really cool word I want to put into that sentence, while I've been outside away from the desk. It's a big deal to do that. I recommend that a lot. And I think, again, one of the strongest lessons I've been able to teach myself and learn over the years is just never, ever stop and don't give up.
Awesome. Where are you most active? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Stubborn persistence is a big deal, and it works.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Where are you most active that listeners can connect with you?
LinkedIn, I imagine, is the place to be right now. My website is also up and running. I don't do enough update on it. I'll be honest about that. It's also something in the works. A lot of things happening with Nat Geo right now that are going to be up and visible and out there as soon as I can. Really excited about a new children's book series that is hopefully going to launch in the next year or so.
Yeah, what can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so I did a little learning adventure book with my two kids as the main characters a few years ago. And
Okay. How
it
old
was
were they?
based at the time, I think 8 and 10.
Awesome.
And so this was based in northern Wisconsin at a really kind of a cool old ancient bog area in a forest way up north.
Love
And
that.
it's I've hiked there a bunch over the years as a kid myself, and like I said, my family's from up there, and it's really a place close to my heart. So this is going to be a fun thing to write about. How can I do this? And I decided that, well, how about a kid story as, an adventure, but not just we're out walking around in the woods, we're learning things. So I turned it into kind of a hybrid fiction, nonfiction book where they are in this real space and they're learning real things and they're seeing what's really out there. But while they're there, the resident critters in the wilderness come along and introduce themselves, like a deer or a little frog or a dragonfly or what have you, and they talk to the kids and they show them the place where they live and their habitat and what's important about it. And the kids are fascinated. They learn all these wonderful things. And I stretch some of the language, some of the terms, some of the conversation just enough for the age group that they will maybe learn something new that they wouldn't have if it was just a straight up, picture book or really straightforward, easy read type of thing. I intentionally went just enough where I pictured a little kid reading this book and with his parents and say, "Hey, mom and dad, what does that word mean?" And at the end of the book, then I put a little, things we learned page with some of those terms specifically highlighted and defined so everybody could learn what those were. And I know there's more than one parent or adult that might be reading this with their kids who didn't know what they were either.
Yeah.
And
Is
so
it out?
every yes, it's out. It's been out for a while.
Oh, what's the book
It's
or
called The
series?
Big it's called The Big Bog. And
Nice.
this is a self-published little book, but it's got some good reviews, and I really had fun writing it. The illustrations are fun and engaging, and that's what I'm hoping is going to be poised as a new series that will take place in all kinds of different locations all over the country. The two main characters go to all these other places too, and they learn things in this, say, now I'm in Montana. I'm in the high country, and I'm have a little adventure, and I'm learning this and this, and it was really fun, really, really fun to write, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. How many books are in the series?
So far, that one,
Okay,
it's the
gotcha.
first one
Nice. I'm
just
looking at it right
started.
now. I'll put a link to it in the episode.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good one, and like I said, that's another. It was really important for me too to get the message out to a younger audience whenever I can as well, which is often I don't get to do that. I rarely am writing for that age group, a younger audience that can read and learn something about this, especially what matters really to all of us most is a special thing to be able to do. So I'm hoping this will take off.
Yeah, as I'm looking at it right now, it is $4.48 to get a physical copy on Amazon. I don't know how you did a color illustrated book for
Yep.
that low on Amazon, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that was another of those things where, you spend a lot of money on paying an illustrator to do those, and they turned out really, really well. But at the end of the day, I wanted this again to be something that makes a difference and matters, and it did. It really had a big impact on and so far it's inspired a new series, so I'm gonna roll with it.
Awesome. Well, Steve, thank you so much for taking the time with me. I really love talking to you. I appreciate you being on the podcast.
I appreciate it, Timmy. Really appreciate it. It's been a wonderful time. Thanks much.